We'll be working our way through 1 Corinthians, and today we're getting to chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now this is a bit of a controversial chapter in some circles, but dealing with some things that some people say, well, that passed away with the apostles and so on. Although the Bible doesn't say that, and I believe we need to let the Bible speak for itself. It concerns a lot. It concerns the happenings that we read of in Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit was given. It was quite a manifestation, if you remember, if you read there. It's quite a wonderful, huge manifestation. The Holy Spirit came with a mighty rushing wind, and tongues of fire and so on, huge. It's just a little odd, I would say, to say that God would just quietly withdraw that without saying anything in the Bible about it. So these things are here. It's in the Bible for us. All the Bible is for us. And so we need to take it at face value and see what it says. So let's read from verse 1. And Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. He says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." We need to know what's going on. We need to understand, and we need to know what it's all about. Verse 2, "You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led." So, of course, we've been through that. These people were idol worshippers. Every pagan thing that existed, they were into. It was total confusion about spiritual things, and Paul's trying to teach them some spiritual things. "You see, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed." Obviously, some places or some situations where there are demons involved, you'll hear that type of thing. "Well, curse Jesus and say blasphemous things about him because they're on the opposite side." But he's teaching these people now that the Spirit of God will never do that. So when you hear that type of thing, that's not God. That's not God speaking there. "And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So that's what the Holy Spirit does. He reveals Jesus to you as Lord. And so when somebody say, "Well, who's Jesus?" And you say, "He's Lord." Well, you know the Holy Spirit told you that. Not in an audible voice, but you just know that you know. And that's how the Holy Spirit speaks. It's just in a kind of an awareness. Some people say a quiet voice, a whispering voice. It's just a thought that comes up in you. You just know that you know. That's how the Holy Spirit speaks. It doesn't speak to your mind. It speaks to your heart, your spirit man. Spirit with spirit. Verse 4. "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all." So we have three things here, three kind of manifestations. We have gifts, we have ministries, and we have activities. And so we need to discern what we're talking about. There are gifts, there are ministries, and there are activities. And they all come from God. They all come from God. And we need to know what we talk about, we need to know what it's all about, and so on, and how to serve. It's very interesting, chapter 12, 13, and 14 really are combined into one big teaching. And right in the middle of 2, chapter 13, is what we know as the love chapter. Beautiful prose, almost, that Paul wrote about love, what love is. And what love does and how love behaves. And it's right in the middle of the two, because this seems to be a controversial topic, but love binds us all together. So chapter 12 talks about the gifts. It gives an explanation about the gifts and the ministries and the activities. Chapter 14 talks about the administration of it, how to administer it properly and orderly in a church. And so right in the middle is chapter 13 that talks about the love of God that was poured out into our hearts and how love operates and how love behaves and all of that. So verse 7, chapter 12, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So God's going to use some people for certain things at certain occasions, but it's not to elevate that person, it is for the profit of all, the benefit of all. Everybody must benefit by it. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So let's look a little bit about into these gifts. First one that Paul mentions there is the word of knowledge. That God can impart some knowledge to you that you didn't have before. It's usually, and right at the back of all of this is God cares about people. Cares about people, he cares about sinners, cares about, and these gifts are there to help. They are there to assist, they are there to help, and that's the way they operate. If that attitude is not present, things can go very wrong, and do go wrong, everywhere. And so we need to know that these gifts are there to serve. They're not there to elevate anybody and say, well, you know, that one has this gift and that one operates in that gift and elevate that people, because that's not the point here. So the word of knowledge is when God imports some knowledge to you that you didn't have before. You don't have it mentally. A good example is when Jesus spoke to the woman at the well. You probably know the story. He came to this well, and there was a woman there, and he started a conversation with her. And in the end, he said to her, go call your husband. She said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, well, you're right about that, because you had five husbands. How did he know that? Word of knowledge. God imparted it to him. And that's it, how it often works. God will give you. It's not to condemn the woman, remember? It's to help her. Because she went and she told everybody in her village, and they all came and listened to him and all believed in him. And that was the fruit of that gift, the word of knowledge that operated there. And so, you know, the Bible says God doesn't change. Jesus also said the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. He never leaves, because he's there to help us reach the lost. Help us to minister to one another, serve one another, help one another through the issues that we face sometimes. And so that's where these gifts come in. And they are there, they're active, they're there to help. It's just sad that so many people say, well, these things died out with the apostles. Because there's no scripture for that. It's sad when people interpret scripture through their own experiences. Well, I don't see these things, so I don't believe in them. Well, it's here in the Bible, so we need to believe what the Bible says. And in chapter 14, we will see how we can lay hold of these gifts and how they can operate also through our lives. All right, let's move on. Verse 9, it says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another faith, sorry, I skipped one, verse 8. To one is give the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge. I skipped the wisdom. So it's the same thing as knowledge. If God gives you wisdom, you find yourself in a situation, you don't know what to do. You don't have a clue. And you pray about it. Well, God wants to help you. He might send somebody to you to give you a word of wisdom. Well, this is what you do. And suddenly things open up and you see, yeah, that's the way to go. God gives you a word of wisdom. It's a gift that operates there to help us. So the next one is faith. Now this one is, how shall I put it? We all have given, to come to God you need faith. A lot of people don't come to God, they don't come because they just cannot believe. They just will not believe. It's mind over matter stuff for them. They can only believe what they see. And the Bible says faith actually works in the area where you cannot see. You know, that's where faith kicks in. Hebrews 11 verse 1, if you want to read about that later on. Faith works in the unseen area. To bring about things that are not seen yet to be seen. Bring it into manifestation. Help us to understand, to see and believe. But this faith is faith that goes beyond our own level of faith. You're faced with a situation and you know what? I know God can do that, but I don't have that kind of faith. That's where this gift comes in. It just comes kind of a boost your faith and God helps you to overcome that doubt. Now, verse 9 also says to another, gifts of healings. It's interesting that this one is the only one that is plural, gifts of healings. Interesting one. I don't know why it's that way, but I think, this is just my opinion, that God will use certain people that deal with certain things to minister to people with certain the health issues and help them. I don't know. That's the best way I can explain that. Gifts of healings. Verse 10, to another working of miracles. A miracle is when the laws of nature are superseded. When Jesus walked on the water and Peter, well, that's a miracle. You cannot do that naturally. That's a miracle. And sometimes you're faced with situations like that and God can come with a miracle. I sometimes see, quite often actually, on social media, people say, well, I need a miracle here. I need a miracle. And they have this issue and that issue. And that is when naturally there is no way out. But we know God cares. And sometimes, thank God, that type of thing happens. I don't know if any of you saw any miracles. We've seen some. It's quite amazing to see that. I remember when I was in my teens, there was an evangelist that went around through our nation, South Africa, and preached. A lot of people went there. My dad always took us there. And one day the ambulance brought the man on a gurney, a stretcher. And he was, you could see the man was so skinny. He was sick. He's been sick for a long time. And they put him on the podium, and the evangelist started to preach, and suddenly he turned around and took the man by the hand, and he almost jumped through the roof of the tent. I saw that. I was right in front. You cannot doubt after you saw that. A miracle took place. Medically, they couldn't do anything for him, but God could do something for him. So these are wonderful gifts that God uses to work through us and to bless us. It's for the benefit of all, right? We've seen some other ones too. When I traveled as a missionary, I saw a lot of those. It's just amazing to be on the mission field. You see these things happen there. Okay, let's move on. Verse 10, to another, prophecy. Prophecy is to speak the mind of God unprepared. I mean, you don't prepare yourself when God says this. You have to be careful. There's a lot of, all these things can be counterfeited. All of them can be copied. And there's a lot of copies around. That's why Paul said, I don't want you to be ignorant, because you don't fall for the copy. You just go with the genuine one, the one that comes from God. And so there are ways to discern these things. And the Bible gives it to us, and when we get to chapter 14, we'll get into more of that. But there are times when God will speak through a word of prophecy. Now, prophecy is mostly to encourage and to edify. It's very edifying to hear. It's a beautiful thing to experience. So God speaks in a certain moment to a certain group or a certain person about a certain thing. That's the best way I can explain it. I don't want to go too much into that, except to say there's a lot in that area that goes wrong today, and we have to be careful. If God says something, He'll do it. And we don't have to do anything to help God make it happen. It will happen. So let's leave it at that. To another, discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirits. Note that it's not discerning of people's attitudes and hidden agendas and stuff like that. It has to do with the spirit world. Talking here about angels and demons. We found this to be very active. When we're on the mission field, there are demons in the lives of people. People have demons. They have things that kind of rule over their mind and so on. And they say things and do things, and they manifest in crazy ways and so on. Discerning of spirits. So you know, a very good example is when Paul was in that one place, and there was a girl that went after him and kept on saying, "These people are from God, and they're here to bring you good news," and things like that. I mean, good things that anybody could actually feel good about. But Paul realized there's a demon in that girl. And he cast the demon out in the name of the Lord. The demon left, and then a riot happens because she brought a lot of money to the people who handled her and looked after her. A whole riot started, and it ended up very badly for Paul. But there was a discerning of spirits there. To another, different kinds of tongues, people speaking tongues, and to another, interpretation of tongues. Now, when we get to chapter 14, we can look into that a little more, but there are two things when you talk about tongues. One is for personal edification, where it has nothing to do with anybody else. But when you speak in a meeting situation, and there are people present and you speak in tongues, you need to interpret that. So the two go together. Tongues and interpretation go together. You cannot have the one and not the other, because then things go wrong. And Paul talks about that in chapter 14. So these two, but when it comes to your personal prayer life, it's amazing. Romans 8 talks about that a little bit, and some other places, where the Holy Spirit comes and Paul says, When I pray in a tongue, my mind is unfruitful. I don't understand what I'm saying. But the Holy Spirit does. He's praying according to the will of God. And God answers those prayers. We don't know. Sometimes we don't have the faith to pray for something. We don't have that faith. You know, I see a situation. I want to pray for that, but you know, I just see it's too hard. I don't believe God's going to do anything here. Well, that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And he prays according to the will of God. And 1 John, I think it's chapter 5, says, when we pray according to the will of God, God hears us, and we will receive what we have prayed for. That is just the beauty of praying according to the will of God. So it says there, verse 11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. It's not something that you can force. It's not something that you can claim. You just make yourself available, and the Holy Spirit will use whichever way He wants to use you. Verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So a lot of words that really means that the church is the body of Christ. It has different members, just like our body. And every member has its own function. And so that's what he's going to talk about. We're many, we're different, but we're one. And we need one another. We need each other to be different. Because the day comes when I'm going to need what you have. And so that's why when we work together, we have them all. Verse 13, for by one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not part of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Now, you may not know that, but when you're in church leadership, this stuff comes up. Verse 16, and if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So each one has something to contribute. Everybody can contribute something. Everybody has something that the others don't have. And you know that nobody came to the world without gifts and talents. You know that. Every one of you, as you sit here, have gifts and talents. Everyone. Nobody came with nothing. And God put it there. I believe God put it there for you to make a living. You bring your gift or talent to the marketplace, you make a living off it. But the better you develop it, polish it, the better you'll make it. But that gift also has a place in the church, in the body of Christ, serving him, giving some back to him, some of it at least. And so nobody came without talent. So everybody has something to contribute. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Even if you cannot look down on somebody or feel I'm a weaker one, yes, you're necessary. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed. You know, we've seen that. In church, there's a person there that nobody thinks much of. And one day, God uses that person to encourage somebody, to help somebody, just open a door. God uses people in different ways, and you will be amazed what God can do through a person that you thought nothing of. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. So that's just the way, you know, God gives us a meaningful life. You know, God gives you something to make your life meaningful. But you've got to do something with it. You've got to do something with it. Maybe some of those gifts are so, and talents are hidden so deep that you don't know about them. I'm laughing because, you know what, I'm an example of that. But there was a time in our lives when we found ourselves in a situation that I didn't know what to do and what to do. I just came to a dead end. And it took me a long time to work my way out of it. Somebody sent me, back in those days, an audio tape of somebody talking about these things. And I thought, as I listened to it, well, I think I can teach. I'd never done it before. I never thought about it. But I started something on a small scale, very small scale. And what we started back then has gone around the globe. And I look at that and I'm amazed. I'm amazed every day when I see that. I look on our website and I see it's on our website from around the world. And I say, God, you picked on me to do that. I never knew that. I never knew that. I was listening to a person preach one day in South Africa in a tent. There were refugees present. All of them were refugees, the people there. They were about 50 or so. And they came from different nations in Africa. There was about, well, as this person preached, he was a student of our Bible school. The interpreters started one after the other, five of them. He said one sentence, then the interpreters came in the different languages. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm just enjoying this thing. And suddenly he stopped. And he turned to me and he said, if you were not obedient back then, this would not have happened today. And I realized, even though there was something hidden so deep inside of me, and it doesn't have to be the best. I'm not the best teacher. I would never say that. But God can use whatever you have. And he took that. And look where it's gone. Just look where it's gone. It's amazing. And you have no idea what God has hidden inside of you. And how God wants to use that to impact other people. Whether it's a small scale or a big scale. It doesn't really matter. You know, you just do what God tells you to do. That's all. All right, let's move on. Let's do 24 again. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism or tear or break in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. Members should have the same care. You know, whether there's one that's used by God very often and very spectacularly, maybe beautiful voice to sing or music, whatever. And there's somebody else who doesn't seem to have much. It doesn't matter, right? It says, we should have the same care for one another. Same care. There's no difference. There's no discrimination here. There's no one better than the other one. We're all part of the same body. Verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. So if somebody gets hurt, somebody goes through a difficult time, that's everybody's business, right? We're going to help. We do what we can. We encourage, we help, whatever we can do. We come together and help that person. To get over it, to be healed or to be restored back to a healthy situation. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. You are the body of Christ and members individually. He's talking about a gathering of people. You know, the church is not necessarily an institution. Jesus said, where two or three gather in my name, I'm there too. That's the church. And where there's two or three, or plenty odd, like us here, or several hundreds or thousands, that's the church. It's all those that have surrendered their lives to Christ. They become part of the body of Christ. Verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Now, an apostle, we all know they were the 12 apostles of the Bible that we read of. They were disciples and then apostles. But there were more apostles than just the 12. And we read of them in the Bible. Barnabas is one of them. And there were others too. But the 12 apostles that were disciples that followed Jesus all the time, they're in a special group. And we continue to read of that group right into the book of Revelation. They're mentioned there, the 12 apostles. But there are other, the word apostle simply means someone who is sent. So, in reality, a missionary is an apostle. But not all missionaries have all that gifting that apostles have. Just mean you're a sent one. God sent you to go and do this and this and that. Or go to that nation or that tribe, wherever he sent you. That's an apostle. But true apostles, in the sense of the word here, and the book of Ephesians chapter 4 talks about that too. An apostle is someone who plants a church in a place where there is no church. He goes there. There are no Christians there. He preaches the gospel. Some people get saved. They're born again. He brings them together. He starts to teach them and train them up in the ways of the Lord and so on. And so he's an apostle, he's a prophet, he's a pastor, he's a teacher, he's everything. Very powerful person, very powerful minister. So first apostles, second prophets. Now prophets are not necessarily people who go around and say, thus says the Lord. These are deep teachers. Apostles are teachers, mainly. They open the Word of God. They can teach you things, and you say, I never saw that. It becomes clear now that you said that. So these are prophets. They are great teachers. They open the Word of God. They teach it in a way that makes it simple for everybody to understand. Third, teachers. So there are teachers, people who teach. After that, miracles. People, they're mostly evangelists. Then gifts of healings, same thing. Helps. People that help. People that help. You know, when we had the church, we had a lot of helpers there. Some people help by coming in during the week and clean the church building. That's their contribution. They wanted to do that. Clean the church building. Others came and said, well, I want to do the communion table. Once a month we had communion. Oh, I'll take care of that. And they took care of the wine and the bread, and they put flowers and nice decorations so and make it something special. They were helpers. We had office personnel that worked in the office. They were helpers. And so all kinds of things that people do to help. Administrations. I would call that leadership. Varieties of tongues. All kinds of tongues. Now, this parallel chapter in Romans chapter 12. It talks about this actually in greater detail than this one. Romans chapter 12 talks a lot about ministry gifts. And how these things operate in the church to make the church healthy and effective and strong. Verse 29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Answer is no. But everybody has something. Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So there's the way to embrace these gifts. It says desire, but earnestly desire. But when there's a desire to serve, there's a desire to help, there's a desire to reach out to the lost, there's a desire to help the sick or the people that have problems. There's a desire, I want to do that, I want to be more effectively in that. That's when these gifts begin to operate. It comes to a heart that is given to servanthood. Not to be displayed as something spectacular and like celebrity kind of status. No, we don't have celebrities in the church. I don't know about you, but when I see celebrity pastors and musicians in the church, I just see that red flags all around. Because God calls us to be humble. And God uses the humble. He actually says that God will raise the humble. And so when we come with that attitude that I want to serve, I want to be a helper, I want to come alongside, that is when the Holy Spirit comes and He begins to stir up those giftings inside of us. So we become more effective in our ministry to others. These are wonderful things, and there's a lot to be said about this. Cannot cover that all here in this session, but these are wonderful things. And you know, when God gave these gifts to the church on the day of Pentecost and on, there was good reason for that. But if you look at that world and compare it to the world that we live in today, our world is a lot more wicked than that world. There's a lot more reason for us to operate in the power of God than those people had. And if they needed it, we surely do too. It's sad that the church has, to a great extent at least, found its power really in our mental abilities. Not spiritual, but mental. You cannot understand God. Your mind was never designed to understand God. We cannot understand God. People say God will not do this and God will have. Well, how do you know what God will do or will not do? How do you know? There's nothing impossible for God. And we need to keep it there. So, you know, you learn a lot if you are on the road for a long time. You learn to stay out of that area. Because I'll be honest with you, I was weak at that. Say, well, God's going to do it this way, because he's going to do it that way. I know he never does. He never does. And in the end, you stop doing that, because you know you're always wrong. What's the point? Just let God be God and let him do what he wants to do. And the big thing is to be available. Just be available to him. Just be available to him. And God will use you. It's when we really care about people and about one another and people outside that need God. That is where the Holy Spirit comes along. And he brings us, he equips us with more than we have naturally in our own abilities. And that is the power. And so this is a lovely chapter. I always love this chapter, and I love the work of the Holy Spirit. I've seen him in action many, many times. It's wonderful. It's edifying. It is life-changing. And I just want to encourage us all to desire. Just desire to be available to him. Desire for him to work through you. And let him equip you so that you can become all that God wants to do with you. Okay, well, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who laid down his life for us so that we could become reconciled with you. We don't come because of our own credentials, because we have none. We come purely on the work that Jesus did. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, whom you have given to us to be with us forever. The word says he will never leave us and never forsake us. He's the helper and the comforter, reaching out through us to minister and to help. And I pray that all of us will be sensitive to his voice and his promptings. We'll be quick to respond and willing. Thanking Lord for, we thank you for this chapter, teaching us that we won't be ignorant, but know about these things that you have given to the church. We honor you, we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.